The House Committee Rules to Order for Thursday, February 27, 2014. Open a work session on House Bill 4078. Erin, can you please review the measure and the amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 4078 validates urban growth boundary adopted by Metro and acknowledged by LCDC, Land Conservation and Development Commission, as Metro's acknowledged urban growth boundary. There is an emergency clause on the measure. We did have a hearing on this on the 25th. We originally posted a -15 amendment last night. We received a -17 amendment this morning. I believe Representative Clem is prepared to talk about the -17 amendment as we grab him right now to talk about the differences between the two. We do not have a revenue or a fiscal statement yet on the -17 amendment for this morning.
Well, I'll just wait till Representative Clem comes in to testify.
That's part of the court. Yeah.
Representative Clem?
We're always waiting for him, even on the
Perhaps
floor.
Perhaps we could do some Simon Says.
You could sing.
You can always sing.
Hi, Representative Clem and Davis. Good morning. Thank you for joining us in the Rules Committee here this morning.
Go, sir. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from District 21, Chair of the House Rural Communities Committee that sent you this bill. Do you want me to go?
Yes, go.
Like a duel? We both talk at the same time?
Whatever it is, okay. If you're going to talk, identify yourself
so what,
first. Otherwise,
what do you have in front of you, 15s and 17s? So let me explain to you the 17s then. So the -17s make several technical corrections that are literally property lines and that kind of thing. But the substantive issues involved are, one, an agreement that we last talked to you about, a work group. We'd go see what we could work out between TVFNR, some districts, Beaverton, and the city of Hillsboro around a what's called Senate Bill 122 agreement. That agreement was reached. We're trying to make sure right now that the legislative intent reflects the agreement. The language in the 17s definitely reflects one side of the agreement. I just want to make sure the other side gets to come up and speak about their portion of the agreement to make sure. So the 17s have in it what Beaverton and TVFNR believe was the agreement. I just want to make sure that you know that we maybe need a little legislative intent. The irony is it's an agreement to have a discussion to reach another agreement. So the actual outcome of this will eventually come next session, but there is an agreement on drawing some lines to make clear where people's jurisdictions are and how they're going to share the money. It was very productive. We just want to make sure that that conversation takes place between now and the end of 2015. What you'll see is a report is due back at the beginning of 2015 on that. We already basically have the framework of the agreement done. We just couldn't get it written into detail, so we just put in here, they shall go have this conversation, come back with a report at the beginning of 2015 of how they worked this out. Hopefully we don't even need legislation. It sunsets at the end of 2015 to make sure that if no one comes back with a report and the consensus we believe we have, we can deal with it in 2015. The other piece is a
approval and
The other piece is we talked about the issue of which lands would count in the future urban growth boundary expansions. This amendment includes all the new UGB lands that were brought in, not just the ones north of Hillsboro, but also east of Forest Grove, north of Forest Grove, south of Forest Grove, east of Cornelius, south of Cornelius. There's some brown on your map. None of those lands, in addition to Hillsboro, which we mentioned before, none of those lands would count in the next round of employment numbers against lands that might otherwise be available to other jurisdictions. So no new urban growth boundary expansion done by our action would count against the next round, meaning no one could tell you that the numbers now work against them. I can furnish you with another map, if you like it, that's got acres on it, but in reality, the other jurisdictions' availability to have urban reserves converted to urban growth boundary go up because of this map. We wiped out so many urban reserves to go to rural reserves around Hillsborough that it's somewhere between 500 and 1,000 acres of new urban growth boundary potential for everyone but Washington County because of this. They got a lot of certainty. Now everyone else immediately gets an advantage in the process if this bill passes because they're the only ones with many urban reserves left. I think that's really it from where we left off. We had a few technical issues that had to be worked out where a line was described wrong and that sort of thing. We do have a commitment to resolve one more issue. We believe it can be done by rule, maybe even by a DLCD letter. It has to do with the ability of jurisdictions in rural reserves to put in roads and sidewalks for these urban, right where the urban reserves or the urban growth boundary hit the rural reserves, that's where you need to have flexibility for the urban folks to be able to have sidewalks on their side of the street, on their side of the road, on their side of the creek. And we have a little bit of a difference of opinion about a rule. We believe that can be resolved in rule. Richard Whitman has committed that he would either do it in by letter or by rule. But I just want the legislative record to be clear that, for example, along Jackson School Road, even though in the amendment it's in the rural reserve, that the city of Hillsborough can do roads and sidewalks and sewer and those sorts of things that they need to do now that the urban growth boundary runs right up to it on their side of the road. They can do those things. They just need to consult with Washington County, but they can do those things. We believe that's the current essentially status of the rule, but there's debate about that. So it may get refined further in rule or by letter, but I want to make it clear for legislative intent that the new urban growth boundary areas can be accessed even though they'd be in the rural reserves. The road would be in the rural reserves. They can be accessed by infrastructure by the city of Hillsborough because their UGB now runs right up to the right-of-way, and they need to be able to do the things on their side of the street that they need to do to urbanize that area.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle and members of the committee. It's a pleasure to be before you today. I'm John Davis, State Representative, District 26. My area includes four of the UGB areas approved by Metro, South Hillsborough, South Cooper Mountain, and the Roy Rogers area that have currently been held up for 4 years in litigation. In addition, I represent a large portion of Clackamas County, including the city of Wilsonville, which is directly affected by this legislation in ways that I will discuss. We are literally down in the weeds of land use law right now, but I want to take a couple steps up and remind the committee that with the passage of this bill, local jurisdictions, developers, school districts, cities will have immediate certainty that hundreds of millions of dollars of development and schools and roads can be built in areas that have been planned for many years, since 2010, the 2010 decision of Metro and the counties to include. So although we're talking about a 50-year long-range plan for urban and rural reserves, we're also talking about immediate economic development, immediate schools, and immediate benefit for Washington County. There has been concern, which I think is a legitimate concern, as to are we benefiting Washington County at the expense of Clackamas. And I want to talk about some ways that I believe this bill protects Clackamas County, specifically protects those cities who are next in line for UGB expansions, and some of them were mentioned by Representative Clem. First of all, the compromise here was that Washington County gave up, as Representative Clem said, thousands of acres of urban reserves, which will push the demand and the availability of economic and urban lands into the other jurisdictions. Multnomah County, frankly, is pretty well built out. That leaves Clackamas County as the next beneficiary. The second piece, with certainty for the Washington County jurisdiction's UGBs, next in line will literally be Wilsonville and Clackamas County cities for their UGB expansions. And if this bill doesn't pass, and we have to go all the way back to Metro for an entire round of UGB expansion, cities like Wilsonville and Clackamas County cities are, again, I hate to use the word competing, but are going to be vying for UGB decisions and expansions against Hillsborough, Beaverton, and those cities, which got them in 2010, and this bill provides that certainty. So if this bill passes, the Clackamas County cities, including Wilsonville, are literally next in line, and from our discussions with the conservation community, with Metro, and with many others, there is a general understanding that Wilsonville is literally next in line for a UGB expansion. Finally, there is concern that's been raised by a number of jurisdictions, but Clackamas County specifically, that Clackamas County has a number of urban reserves that are essentially islands surrounded by rural reserves. And there isn't clarity right now as to whether or not roads, as Representative Clem just brought up, can be built through those rural reserves for the benefit of the areas that were specifically designated for employment and development, the urban reserves. And we do have a commitment from Richard Whitman and the governor's office to ensure that whether it's through letter or through rule, that it's clarified that you may build and jurisdictions may build through rural reserves to access urban reserves. I don't think it's accurate to say that we were able to include everything that all jurisdictions wanted, but I do believe this protects both Washington and Clackamas County and will benefit to the tune of hundreds of millions of dollars of development in the metro area, both jurisdictions. Thank you.
Thank you. Questions? Representative Kenema.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This bill, and I appreciate the incredible work you have been putting into it, and frankly, I have some criticisms about our short session, and I think we need better sideboards, and this bill is Exhibit 1 in my view. But on the other hand, there seems to be some issues that need to be accommodated, and I appreciate that. I particularly appreciate the notion about the roads. I think this is a gigantic step forward for the entire metro area. I guess one of the questions that I have is Clackamas County has some serious concerns about the 17 amendments, but under this bill, can the county or can the county not adopt their own map?
So thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Kenemer. So the court remanded to Washington County remapping.
Yes.
They didn't remand all the way to the locals in Multnomah or Clackamas County, sorry. So it's debatable under current law whether there would be a need to send it down to the counties for even the clarifications of the pretty limited issues. Like, for example, in Clackamas, it's Stafford. That's the part where there was an issue that the court spoke to. So it's debatable whether it would need to go down to the counties. They certainly could not remap the whole county or outside the areas. No way. This bill doesn't change that. We're not taking away any ability. What the bill does is give less debate in the dash 17s, less debate about whether it can be done at the commission level. It affirms that as long as these things exist, it can be done at the commission level. That's probably where current law is anyway, but, you know, it's at least debatable. And the 15s are silent totally on the question.
Yeah. Madam Chair.
Yes.
Representative Kenemer. My understanding of reading the court case is that there wasn't sufficient evidence before the commission with respect to Clackamas County's determination, specifically regarding the Stafford area. There wasn't sufficient evidence for the commission to uphold that decision. It's my understanding that the dash 17s don't change that. And it would be my understanding that if the county hadn't made sufficient findings with respect to the Stafford area, that it still has to go back for those findings to be made at the county level.
Madam Chair, if I could follow up, please.
Yes.
I guess Representative Davis, I wanted to ask that Representative Clem said that 15 is silent on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
That seems to imply 17 changes it.
I see the 17s.
And I guess I'm wondering, is that true, or do we still stay where we are?
Do you want to talk about what was added
yeah.
in 17?
Yep. So it's Section 9 that's in question on the 17s. decision, and it says when the Land Conservation Development Commission acts on remand of the decision of the Oregon Court of Appeals in case A15, that's the case in question, the commission may approve all or part of the local land use decision if the commission identifies evidence in the record that clearly supports all or part of the decision, even though the findings of the local government either, one, do not recite adequate facts, or two, do not adequately identify. So the may is what leaves the option to go back to the counties, leave it with the commission. I think because it was not remanded to the locals, it's no one could say for sure it's going to go back to the locals if we don't do anything. This clearly identifies it's the commission's discretion by saying may, if the commission identifies evidence in the record that clearly supports all or part of the decision. And I would say, you know, we could speak to Richard's here or not, but there are folks you could bring up to speak more to that part. Because it doesn't say shall, it just says may, everybody sort of lives to fight another day, but it's definitely giving the commission another bit of certainty that they've got the option.
And I'll add to that, under Section 9, it says the commission must identify evidence in the record that clearly supports all or part of the decision. And from my reading of the case, the reason that the Stafford area was remanded is because there wasn't sufficient evidence in the record. So it's my intent, my understanding, although there's going to be disagreement on that, that with respect to this narrow issue, and there are other jurisdictions that have other issues with different levels of evidence, but with respect to Clackamas County, that the court itself said there wasn't evidence in the record. That's my understanding.
I just love that land use is so simple. Yes, thank you.
Okay, Section 5, which is page 6, line 12, reads, beginning on line 10, a metropolitan service district organized under Chapter 268 shall complete the inventory determination analysis required under applicable statute not later than, we've changed it from 5 to 6 years.
Yeah.
And what is the background on that?
Thank you, Madam Chair, Representative Hicks, if you like. I think Metro could probably talk about that in more detail. It has to do with their desire to have a retiming with their election cycle and the way their councilors are elected, and have another year to be able to get their work done. I think they wanted 10, to be honest, and then we went down to 8 and then finally down to 6. But I think it has to do with the timing of their cycles, and the need to get their work done is a little tight, they felt.
Representative Hovey.
Thank you. Just back to Section 9 for a moment. Trying to clarify the way this is written, that the commission may approve all or part of the local land use decision, and then it's only if the evidence in the record clearly supports all or part of the decision. So could the commission approve all of the land use, local land use decision, if the record only supports part of the remand, or is it meant that the all and all go together and the part go together? Can you clarify that for me?
We should bring up Metro's lawyer. If Metro's lawyer helped write it, there's a definitive answer, I'm sure, there, but I don't know it. Madam Chair, Mr. Vice Chair.
Should we bring up Metro?
Yeah.
Yes. Mr.
Roger.
One of the two of you should Roger. Come up and testify. Pick who? Okay.
Roger.
Well, first one first.
Yeah, let's deal with the question as a legal matter.
Good morning, Madam Chair, Representative Holvey. The question, as I understand it, related to the all or part of the decision piece.
Oh, could you identify yourself?
Oh, I'm sorry. Roger Alfred, Office of Metro Attorney. Thanks.
Yeah, to reiterate, that is my question of whether the commission may approve, for example, all of the local land use decision if the commission identifies that in the record that it clearly supports part of the decision. I guess I'm trying to understand whether you need to have all of the evidence to make a decision for all of the land use decision.
Right. So backing up just a little bit, the way that the reserve statute works and what has to happen is that in order for the reserves to be approved to get up to LCDC, there has to be an intergovernmental agreement and joint findings adopted by both the county and by Metro. And so that's the case for each county that would be making any new findings. So I believe that this is intended to apply to any individual county. In other words, all or part of the decision might not necessarily. So let's imagine we're in a remand scenario, and we're talking about both Multnomah County and Clackamas County. I think this would allow LCDC to exercise this authority with respect to one piece or the other, but not or both. In other words, it could apply to both Multnomah County and Clackamas County. The issue really, you know, is whether...
Can I rephrase my question?
Yes, yeah. You may.
Because I'm not sure I understood a direct answer to my question. So, it's just, you know, I'm not a land use attorney, so, you know, I'm just trying to understand that the commission may approve all or part of a local land use decision. So you got that. But it's only if the commission identifies evidence that supports all or part of the decision. So my question really is can the commission approve all of it based on that the evidence only supports part of the decision?
I understand. So
it's kind of a yes or a no question, I think.
Well, I think the answer is yes. I mean, I think what the language does is it allows the commission to identify evidence either regarding all or part of the decision that would support either. So if they're making a decision on part of the decision, they can rely on evidence that supports that part of the decision. And if they're acting on the entire decision, then they would need to identify evidence that relates to the entire decision. And this is really, I mean, we're into some very speculative stuff here.
And I'm still speculating.
Is that sufficient? I'm not asking you if you like the answer. I'm asking you, do you need him up at to testify more?
Well, maybe I'll listen to somebody else.
Okay. Randy, do you have anything to
add? I'll sit down and see if I can come up with a better answer for you.
Not to this question, I don't. Just
okay.
Question, if you want.
Okay. Thank you so much. Mr. Tucker.
Oh, yeah. And Madam Chair, I know legislative counsel's in the audience, and maybe they can provide an answer to my question as well. I don't know.
Multnomah County is interested in responding to that question. Madam Chair, good morning. I'm Randy Tucker. I'm Metro's legislative affairs manager, and I just wanted to try to answer Representative Hicks' question if you would like me to. Okay, so Metro is the only jurisdiction in the state that has a five-year urban growth boundary cycle. We have to undertake the entire process of examining the urban growth boundary, determining what our capacity is, and then making a land use decision every 5 years. No other jurisdiction is under that requirement, and it's a massive and very expensive undertaking, and we've had a long-running discussion with some of the interests, you know, that you speak to a lot around here, the home builders and other developers, about whether that cycle is reasonable. And one argument that to extend it, aside from the expense and how difficult it is that it just doesn't coincide with the terms of Metro councilors. It's as though you had an 18-month budget cycle or something, which would make no sense in the context of your electoral cycle, or a three-year budget cycle would make no sense. While we, as Representative Clem said, we would love a longer cycle, that whole conversation is not the one we're trying to have here. We're trying to just rationalize the way things work. And this current cycle that we've just been running through is a good example of why 5 years is short. I mean, we are almost to the end of the 5 years. Our next deadline for issuing an urban growth report, which is the capacity analysis and all, which is spoken to in the statute, is this December 31st. And meanwhile, here we are before the legislature talking about the last urban growth boundary decision. So I think while this is an extraordinary circumstance because of the urban reserves case, This is not a major change. I want to make it clear, this would not change by one square inch the amount of land that we would have to bring into the urban growth boundary. It just changes the frequency with which we have to do it. So over a 30-year period, instead of undertaking this massive process six times, we'd only undertake it five times. And we divide the total land need during that period of time in five rather than six. So it makes no difference in terms of the actual land added to the urban growth boundary on the ground. It just saves the public dollars, and it makes the system work better from the perspective of the cycle of elections that our councilors undergo. If that answers your question.
What's the term of service?
Metro councilors have a 4-year term, and they are. Some are, half of them are elected every 2 years, just like the Senate here. And so this would mean that there'd be one decision in an electoral, sort of on the electoral year of half the council, and then the next time it would be on the electoral year of the next council, or the other half of the council, excuse me.
That's a question.
That does it.
Okay. Anyone else?
Thanks, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Smith? Would you like to say a few words? Fantastic.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle.
Identify yourself for the record.
Commissioner Tootie Smith, Clackamas County, former state legislator for several years and friends to many in the building. Thank you for allowing me to testify today. I'd like to thank Representative Brian Clem and Representative John Davis for their exhausting work on an extremely difficult subject that I don't really think most of us understand. But what I do know, as I represent Clackamas County, which is the largest county in Northern Oregon by land mass, we have 16 different cities, we have millions of acres owned by the federal government, and yet little control of controlling a destiny to ensure employment and healthy families. What we would like to see is we want to ensure and allow the county to review its earlier reserves decision on remand to ensure compliance with the court ruling and to make other limited revisions to address changed circumstances. At this point, if the adoption of the Dash 17 amendments go forward, it puts Clackamas County in no other position but to strongly oppose them.
Okay. Any questions? Representative Jensen?
I want to see where conversation is going before I further into this.
Anyone else?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I wonder if I could ask a question of council, legislative council.
Yes, you may. If here he, oh, here he is. All right, somebody's got to move.
Am I done?
I don't know. Are you?
Is there any questions regarding Clackamas County? It seems Clackamas County, in all honesty, has been plowed over yet again.
Well, I would ask you, Commissioner Smith. So, with this bill, is Clackamas County more or less harmed in terms of future UGB expansions than you were before this process started?
I say we were more harmed.
You really? You think so?
Mm-hmm. For the Dash 17s.
Okay. And
as
were
best
you,
as
were
I
you,
understand.
Was Clackamas County at any time given the opportunity to approve or other amendments?
Oh, we sent in amendments, yes, Representative. And it's a very simple one-line amendment we would like to see adopted.
All right, and at any time were you given the opportunity to accept that amendment?
No.
Okay, Representative Clem?
Thank you, Madam Chair, for the record. I don't need to say for the record again. So yesterday there was a series of amendments proposed to me officially by Clackamas County. Their chair came down, presented them to me. I can furnish you if you want. There were three big asks. One was related to this authority question, and they wanted clear authority to be able to do fairly significant remapping. I told them I couldn't go for that, but we could be silent on it, I felt. Two was there's a federal lawsuit having to do with an issue I think not necessarily land use, but about words that were used by some of their predecessors during the process against a developer, and they felt they would like to get those resolved because they weren't the ones who were accused in the lawsuit, and their suggestion was to essentially supersite Urban Reserve into French Prairie, which I told them I can't get involved in something like that without getting the other side on board, as we've done here. I think they were okay with my promise to engage in a conversation with Friends of French Prairie about a path to move forward if there is one. So we talked about that, but I said I cannot do that amendment. That would be completely in violation of everything else we've agreed to with the other jurisdictions on consensus. And personally, I would have a lot of heartburn because part of it borders Marion County, and I would get in a lot of trouble if I just had thrown that in the bill. But I think we found a way forward on that, which is to go have that conversation like we did here between the Friends of and the developers and the jurisdiction and see if we could get to a consensus. So that was request two. Third had to do with a transportation related question that Representative Davis mentioned, and that's what can you do in rural reserves when you've got urban reserves that are sort of stuck and no way to get to them if you can't do roads through rural reserves. That was a part I mentioned that I spoke with Director Whitman about, and he felt that that was probably a misinterpretation of rule, but that there could be a clarifying letter or rule made to that effect. There's also there was another amendment request. There's four actually, to immediately in this bill add Wilsonville into the UGB. You know, I got assurances from a lot of folks that it's kind of at the top of everybody's mind for the next round, but I didn't feel comfortable just adding in other counties' things into the UGB as part of this bill. And I can furnish you in writing. There were four amendment requests. We talked through how to move forward on all of them, and then I said, let me know, you know, how you feel. I got an email back last night that I can furnish you saying it's just not enough certainty. We're at an impasse. And so that's where we left off as of last night. Today, when Commissioner Smith and I spoke out in the hall, there was a discussion about one more line. I haven't seen the exact language, but if it might be referring to the first thing I mentioned, which is the ability to go back and remap. But that's sort of the history of the four amendments. Yesterday, the official "we're at an impasse" was the term, and I wrote back, you know, maybe we could get somewhere tomorrow. I didn't hear back until like a few minutes before the hearing.
And so do you feel like Clackamas County is significantly harmed in terms of future UGB expansions by this bill?
No, and I feel they're helped by the passage of the bill, and here's why. So many urban reserves were removed in Washington County in favor of rural, and the UGB expansions that are made in Washington County are not counting against the next round. So literally thousands of acres of newly available UGB expansion went to Clackamas and Multnomah counties because of if this bill passes, thousands of acres become available to Clackamas County. Because the way our laws work, the next round you need to go into urban reserves. Washington County just lost all theirs, mostly to rural and some to urban growth boundaries. So the next round virtually guarantees the other two jurisdictions, who are the only ones who have any urban reserves left, a better opportunity than they had if we do nothing.
Great. Thank you.
Is there a time for that?
Commissioner Smith, you'd like to.
Yeah. The only thing I'm asking is 30 words. 30 words, and we have certainty. Thinking that you're going to punt the football to the next legislative session when everything is off the table, this is our opportunity now. That's all Clackamas County. They're very simple. To allow us to make sure that this legislation does not trump the remand that was just handed down by the Court of Appeals. That's all I'm asking. Very simple. Brian is correct.
I've got to see what the 30 words are, because
I think part of the issue is that there's been a lot of negotiation, and unfortunately last night the response from your county was, we're at an impasse, we can't move any further, and so getting these right now is difficult. Certainly Representative Clem will look at those. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if we can accommodate you.
Impossible.
If you have to be in opposition, so be it. We will work with you if we can, and
Thank you.
We can't, we look forward to working with you on other things. Representative Hicks.
So this will belie my ignorance. I border California. Do a lot of people live in that? And it just kind of it draws insight away from you. The closer you get, I dare suggest. Do a lot of people live in Clackamas and work in Washington or vice versa? Is that, I don't even know the answer to that.
Yeah.
So do people go back and forth
between
these counties?
There are a lot of people that work in counties? Clackamas County that commute to Washington because of the jobs issue.
Yeah.
And what we're trying to do in Clackamas County is create a job space of our own. I believe about 60% of the people who live in Clackamas County travel outside for employment. Mm-hmm. We would like to be able to provide jobs in our own county.
Okay.
And that's a land issue, frankly.
Understandable. Okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, if I just might, the one thing I want to reiterate, too, in addition to answering your question, is regardless, and I told Clackamas County this, regardless of even if they oppose the bill, I will still do everything yesterday I said I would do. Work to get the road thing clarified by rule or letter. Go to the meetings with the interested parties in Stafford and French Prairie to see if we can get a consensus. I will still do all that anyway. It just comes down to this issue over, I think, the commission's authority versus Clackamas County authority. Really, that is an issue, I think, from having talked with everybody now. It's not so much about this bill. It's that elections matter, and the people who wrote the original map are no longer in office. And so that's probably the core issue, actually, versus the bill. And if, you know, I think people would like a different outcome, but some time has passed. Now we're down to the court giving an opportunity for a Stafford revision. That's probably really the only area right now that could be revisited by this commission because of the way that even if we give them the authority to do a revisiting on the court's decision instead of LCDC, Stafford is the only thing that was revisited. If you want to get into remapping the whole thing, I think that's that would be a big problem for the other counties.
All right.
I would
Representative
guess.
Thank you,
Madam Chair. I think maybe another way to address this, too, is, and I appreciate you bringing counsel up, my question would be to counsel, does the current bill ensure or otherwise allow the county to review its earlier reserves decisions if there is a remand to ensure compliance with court ruling and to make other limited revisions as necessary to address changed circumstances?
Chair Hoyle, Representative Kinnemer, I guess first, I'm not sure which county you have in mind.
Oh, I'm sorry, Clackamas County, excuse me.
But the answer is probably that I'm not sure that I'm familiar enough with the court case to answer your question at this time. Sorry.
Madam Chair, Rep. Kinnemer, that issue of with changed circumstances, I don't know how you define those, mm-hmm. but if you said the economy got worse, we need to revisit the whole thing, that might be allowed under that language. I mean, we'd really have to look at what beyond the court decision, these limited with changed circumstances, what all could that mean?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I guess in response, I guess the changed circumstance that I had thought was there was the court's requirement that something be changed.
Could be mean that. Could be. I don't know what could get opened up.
Okay. I don't know. Do you think that there still is a chance to ensure compliance with court rulings? Through the county, I guess that remand
question
is the critical question.
Yeah.
I think for my county, and that's
yeah.
I'm sorry to keep coming back to it. And it seems to me that it probably is there, probably not in as broad a form as the county would like, but it's there. And I guess I'm looking for some assurance.
Madam Chair, Representative Kinnemer, I do because of the word may in the dash 17s. If it said shall, I would say no, this is going to be done at the LCD level. May means they can decide to go back, consult with the county, they can send it to the county, they can just decide to, if they believe they've got everything they need to correct the record, do it themselves. But I believe there's still an opportunity, even with the 17s, to have it done at the county level or in consultation with the county. I don't think it allows you to go off into whole new debates about things that weren't even part of the court case, and I don't think anybody wants to debate those, frankly, but those are like the Miletus decision. The court did not remand on that. That's something I feel like could not be addressed in the county's next action. It would be something where the Miletuses could go challenge to the Supreme Court. Nothing here is terminating that ability in Clackamas County, and that's one core thing I should emphasize. I had an earlier request from one Clackamas County commissioner that I think was probably felt by all of them at the time, please don't have your bill affect Clackamas County. You know, don't make a map for us. Don't do these things for us. And that's kind of where we started, is we had further conversations over the course of the weekend. And Clackamas was at all the meetings. I should make sure you know that. The Friday meeting, the Sunday meeting, Clackamas was at all the meetings. It was fairly consistent that we don't want to be affected. I think they started to see some momentum building around these other changes and said, well, actually, now maybe we would like to get this certainty, the UGB certainty, resolve the court case, and that's what the list meant. I think we've since sort of moderated to an approach that most of us can live with. I'm going to live by my part anyway, even if they feel that this last 17 is too much. I'm still going to do the things that I spoke yesterday about doing.
Thank you. And Representative Clem, I appreciate it. I think you've been very inclusive, and I think you've been the recipient of mixed and not always consensus-based messages that have made your task profoundly hard. But I think we're getting some headway. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. And with that, okay, we're going to close the work session on House Bill 4078, and committee will be in recess till 1 o'clock. Thank you. I'd like to reconvene the meeting, the House Committee on Rules for Thursday, February 27th, and the committee will be in recess till 2:30. Thank you for your attendance.
Keeping us all on the air.
House Committee on Rules for Thursday, February 27th, 2014. Representative Clem and Davis, will you give us the brief update of where we're at? You don't have to repeat any of the things that you said before.
Yeah.
So just tell us what's new and what we need to know.
Madam Chair, for the record, I'm Brian Clem, State Representative from right here in District 21, Salem. Welcome to my district, everyone. Dash 18s include technical fixes in a couple areas. These related to some discussions between particularly Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue and the City of Hillsborough around lines in a thing called Senate Bill 122. We had to change a little word. The areas in the portion about undesignated reserves and when you could go into undesignated reserves in Washington County needed a little addressing, and that's fixed. There was one other just in conflict, like the two things ran into each other a few sentences later, and in the employment land area, that's fixed. And in your, well, at some point in your OLIS, but I'll just go ahead and read it now if you'd like, Madam Chair, there should be an email from the Governor's Natural Resource Advisor, Director Richard Whitman, to the Chair. And I'm finding it so I can get it for you all, relating to the Clackamas County issue we discussed in some detail earlier. And I'm trying to get it. Maybe he should talk while I find
go,
it.
Representative Davis, would you like to identify yourself for the record and carry on where he left off?
Madam Chair, Representative Davis, House District 26. I don't think I could ever pick up where he left off.
We're grateful for that.
It's really close.
I was being serious. Yeah. I wasn't going to try to pick up.
No, and I was being serious, too. Is there anything else you would like to say?
No, I just appreciate the continued work of the jurisdictions involved to reach a consensus, and I think we've made movement even since this morning on that.
Fantastic.
I can't find the email, Madam Chair. It's important, though, that we read it. In your office.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
You have it, I think.
Do you have it on paper here?
Do you want to ask maybe Harrison to come up while he looks?
What's it called in OLIS?
I'd like to get something on the record.
Yeah, we need to.
Okay.
That'll give Representative Clem a little bit of time.
I'm just looking for it. I can't find it.
Bless you.
Yes. I found it, Madam Chair.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
Well,
you that's one of my things.
Pretty obvious. It's pretty obvious you didn't find it.
It's been thrust under.
It's been a long day.
Beth found it.
Is there something you'd like to read on the record?
I would. Beth found it.
Thank you.
This is an email from Richard Whitman, the governor's Kids Harbor's Natural Resources Advisor that is down in the Klamath Basin, so couldn't be here today. I'm writing to confirm that we will ask, this would be the governor's office, will ask the Department of Land Conservation Development and the Land Conservation Development Commission to confer closely with Clackamas County and Metro in determining how to address the portion of the remand from the Oregon Court of Appeals that concerns Clackamas County. Having said that, I think you should hear from everybody else because I can't say much more about this in front of you without you getting angry with me. I understand, and I believe we now have all parties happy with the Dash 18s. I will just say briefly thank everyone for their willingness to take what could have been a crisis and create a unifying moment to make Oregon a better place.
Excellent. Thank you so much for your work, and I really mean that. This is important work, and I know it was difficult.
I'm keeping the laptop.
Sorry. Okay. Go. Mr. Connolly, would you please come up and introduce yourself for the record?
And Madam Chair, if I could indulge you as well, I think I had a person from Metro, and I don't remember his name, and somebody else who had a good answer to my question that I'd like to come up as well, just to make sure the record's clear on this.
Yes.
They know who they are. I just
yes.
don't remember their names. There they come.
Well, they'll introduce themselves for the record, too, and we'll all know their names.
Sort of ominous.
Mr. Connolly first.
Hi, Harrison Connolly from the Office of Legislative Counsel. I had a chance to talk with Representative Holvey in the hallway, and it was very interesting. In fact, the question I came down to try to address was the question that he asked me in a way that I didn't understand it. We were talking about language, if I can borrow this. We're talking about the language in Section 9, which deals with the possibility of remand, and the question was about the all or part of the decision, and whether evidence for part of the decision would justify approval of the whole decision. Now, what I guess I'd like to start with is the notion that as your drafter, this language is ambiguous and does not meet my own standards. I'm sorry to have given it to you in this way. That said, the courts are full of pretty sharp folks, and I think that they are not likely to get this wrong. That is, just as a matter of logic, evidence for part of a decision does not justify approving the whole decision. So please understand that, in fact, when I wrote this language, I understood that evidence for part of the decision justifies approving that part. Evidence for all of the decision justifies approving all of the decision, and that was my intention in writing it, and I would hope that perhaps you would express some legislative intent that that's your intention, that your understanding of this language.
Representative Holvey?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. That was exactly my question. I just wanted to make sure we put on the record that there wouldn't be a situation where part of the evidence or the evidence that supports part of the decision is used to make all of the decision. I mean, it sounds weird, but I believe the gentleman there could put it in better words than I can right now, but it is semantics. And the way I read the language, it looks like you could, the commission could basically make any decision they want, whether they had all or part of the decision or evidence.
Madam Chair, Jed Tompkins, Assistant Multnomah County Attorney. Representative Holvey, I'll echo Mr. Conley's comments. What's important here, I think, in answering your question is that this provision about LCDC's review and what it may do is going to fall within an existing framework of review of land use issues. And there's no way, no how, that an entire decision under the on the statutory framework that we have can be approved based on partial evidence. Okay, each finding that is made in the land use realm will need to be supported by the record.
Thank you, but you know, just the statutory framework. This, if this were to pass, this is the statutory framework, and that's why I wanted to clear up this ambiguity going forward. And it's, so it is that the all or the part of are respective to the all or part of the evidence, and the alls go together and the part ofs go together. They don't mix and match.
Rep. Hoyle, Vice Chair Hovey, yes.
Thank you. Thank you,
all right.
Chair. That solves my part of all questions.
That's fantastic. All right.
Hopefully Representative Clem agrees with that.
I would like to call up the representatives from Clackamas County.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Dan Chandler. I'm by title a strategic policy administrator for Clackamas County. There's been a question whether Clackamas County could engage Metro, the cities, our citizens, and our partners to talk about the remand and talk about the reserves on remand and whether or not we'd have the ability to make tweaks or changes to our reserves to potentially resolve some of the appeals that are still pending in Clackamas County, as well as address the economic prosperity needs and other changes that have happened in time. We appreciate the letter from Director Whitman confirming that they will urge DLCD and LCDC to confer with the county and Metro on how best to address the remand. So on the strength of that letter, Clackamas County is now neutral on the Dash 18 amendments. We look forward to working with our partners, with Metro, with the cities and the appellants and our citizens to bring the reserves process to an appropriate close. And we'd like to thank you all and Representative Clem for your help and your work on this. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate your testimony. Any questions? Comments? Fantastic. Thank you for coming up today. Do we have someone from the City of Hillsborough and Tualatin Valley Fire and Rescue here? Did you lose your fire chief?
I believe we may have, yes.
They're a slippery bunch. Identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members of the committee. My name is Chris Crane. I am a city attorney for the City of Hillsborough.
Good afternoon. Mark Landara representing Special Districts. I happened to be in the room when the negotiations took place with regard to sections, I believe, 8.
And Madam Chair, members of the committee, I want to be clear on the record that I'm here on behalf of the City of Hillsborough. The mayor was not able to be here today. He asked that I be here in his stead, and so I'm grateful for the opportunity to testify to you today. There was concern about the language, the way it came out in the dash, I believe it was 17s this morning. The fire chief and I, with the fire district's lawyer, sat down and on his computer wrote out the language yesterday. When the bill came out this morning, it wasn't what we had written out, and so the chief and I agreed on that, and we would go back to the original language that we all agreed to yesterday, and that language is now in the Dash 18s. I believe it's also in the Dash 19s. So that we've solved any problems or concerns between the fire district and the city. So that issue has been solved, and I want to thank everyone for their efforts on that. Is that?
Concur.
You're both in support of the Dash of this bill with
indeed.
Dash 18s?
Madam Chair, there is one thing I would like to, a couple things I'd like to say on behalf of the city with respect to the larger bill. First, it's absolutely necessary for me to thank Representatives Clem and Davis and, frankly, their staffs who put in just Herculean effort. I've been doing land use in Oregon for 20 years, and I wouldn't, 2 weeks ago, I wouldn't have bet a nickel on their ability to pull this off, and yet here we are today. I mean, it's just, just a Herculean effort by both of them and their staffs. So thanks for that. Frankly, this Senate Bill 1011 was 7 years ago. Metro adopted the first urban rural reserves in 2010. We've been waiting a long time for any kind of certainty. Metro expanded the urban growth boundary in Hillsborough 2 years ago, and we're still waiting for that. We have developers pounding us. In this bill, Hillsborough is the only city that is given a specific task. In Section 3, Sub 5, we're directed to zone the North Hillsborough UGB area for employment uses, and we're excited about doing that. We believe that is consistent. Frankly, it's good for the region. It's good for the state. It helps maintain the economic competitiveness of Oregon and the metro region. But we are tasked with implementing that. So there is one thing staff really implored me to point out, and that is the urban growth boundary, the north that is supposed to be developed for industrial uses under this bill. They established the boundary of it. They left the road on the eastern side out, and under the land use planning laws, Goal 14, Goals 11, we can't put in urban uses outside the UGB. So even though the land is zoned, we're directed to zone it and develop it for industrial uses, there's a real question whether we can allow transportation access to that road, sewer and water lines to that road, because it's outside the urban growth boundary. And we have asked, I just want to bring that out, up to you, because we will probably be back in January asking for legislation to correct that. So that is the only concern that we still have with the bill. Otherwise, frankly, it brings to the state and the region and our municipal partners the certainty that we need. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Kroon. But
we are on board
in
with the bill.
Absolutely. Of this bill with the Dash 18.
Good bill should pass.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. I would like to call up, just to ensure that we have support from the various groups, I would like to call up, is there a representative from Washington County? Okay. Farm Bureau, Nurseries, and John Chandler. Mr. Stone available? Well, it's okay. Mr. Chandler.
Go ahead. We'll do age.
Age before beauty.
Oh, dear. Madam Chair, Member of the Committee, John Chandler, Oregon Homebuilder Association. Fine bill. Commended to you. Appreciate all the hard work that went into it.
Fantastic.
Glad to take questions.
All right. Thank you.
For the record, Katie Fass with the Oregon Farm Bureau Federation. Oregon Farm Bureau also supports the Dash 18s and appreciates all the work that has gone over through the past week or two.
That's fantastic. Thank you so much. Any questions from the committee? No. You're good. All right. Mr. Honeycutt, and do we have a representative from Metro?
Washington County.
Do we have Washington County back
yes.
in the room? Great.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Randy Tucker, Legislative Affairs Manager for Metro. We support the bill with the Dash 18 amendments. Thank you.
Fantastic.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Dave Honeycutt, Oregonians in Action. Good bill. We're supportive of the amendments, the Dash 18s.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Jim McCauley for Washington County. We are on board with the Dash 18 amendments as well for the bill.
Fantastic. Thank you. Christy Split from Oregon League of Conservation Voters. And Representative Leininger, did you want to say anything? Come on up. Representative Leininger, identify yourself for the record, and we're speaking to support or concerns with the bill with the Dash 18 amendments.
Chair Hoyle and members of the committee, I'm here.
Identify yourself for the record.
I'm Ann Leininger. Representative for Lake Oswego and Southwest Portland. I've had the opportunity to work with a lot of these partners in development of the consensus that is set forth in the Dash 18 amendments, and I want to say how exciting it is to see people who in the reserves process in the past have had strongly differing views now all articulating that they've found common ground. And I want to thank everyone who's been part of this process who are testifying today, and Representative Clem and Representative Unger, Representative Hoyle, many, many people.
Representative Davis.
Representative Davis, thank you so much. And all of the constituent groups who've been part of this is very inspiring and exciting. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative.
Thank you, Chair Hoyle, members of the committee. My name is Christy Split, and I'm actually testifying on behalf of 1,000 Friends of Oregon today. And 1,000 Friends of Oregon supports the bill with the Dash 18 amendment. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And I think, last but not least, the City of Beaverton. Anybody from the City of Beaverton?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Gwen Baldwin on behalf of the city of Beaverton. Yes, dash 18s, thumbs up, thumbs up.
Fantastic. I want to thank everyone for the work. And the reason I called everyone up is because I can't remember another time where this diverse a group supported the same thing on land use. So I think it's spectacular, and it speaks to all of the work that went into this, and I appreciate it. I know that it was painful, it was intense, but this product is amazing, and the array of people that we saw come up, testify, and support speaks to the quality of that work. So thank you for that. Any comments or questions? Okay.
Chair Hoyle, I move to adopt the Dash 18 amendments to House Bill 4078, dated 2/27/14.
Vice Chair Holvey moves to adopt the Dash 18 amendments on House Bill 4078, dated February 27, 2014. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? No, don't even think about it. So moved.
The bill. Madam Chair, I move to House Bill 4078 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Holvey moves House Bill 4078 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion?
Just one, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just real quickly, I hope that they'll consider, and Legislative Council will consider, clarifying Section 19 on the Senate side, or Section 9 on the Senate side. It's in the Dash 18 amendment.
Thank you. And with that, any objection? Okay, so moved. We'll assign Representative Davis and Clem as the co-carriers. Committee will be in recess. Indefinitely.
Recess?
Committee will be in recess. Indefinitely.